Oxnard. Our medical director of 26 years is here to join us. You might want to get her version of when she came on and what it was like and that as well. And Arthur Beauchamp's on the phone as well.
Sally?
Yep.
This is Susan Epstein, now Susan Yagi. And
hi.
I was trying to remember who the lucky director was who got to hire you and whether or not it was me.
No, I think
it was
before Bob Peck or after.
Yeah.
I started in Bob Peck's era.
Okay, so it was right after me.
Oh, you were right after there when I came. I think so, yes, right. So I was a new pediatric cardiology resident coming to town to take over this primary care practice. And I really felt like there was so much help and hospitality and warmth from the Exeter physician community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would refer to us as, you know, their girl in the boonies or something like that. And occasionally they would give me a hard time about sending a patient to the ER because I had no plans to admit the patient myself. But we really benefit, and we still do, from the very warm, supportive physician community in Exeter and the hospital. I mean, it's been absolutely key to our survival over the years. If they wanted to put us out of business, they really could at any point, having denied us privileges or refusing to admit our patients or whatever. So we're alone in the area in terms of physician support, collegiality. That was very important.
Yeah, and unusual from other stories I've heard, at least from the get-go.
Because you do hear from other health centers that the local physicians are busy trying to put them out of business. But
right.
Really,
and remember the story of the OBs that I told you? They did want to put us out of business.
Yeah, there was one OB at one point who said that having our patients on the floor would hamper the quality of care that his patients were getting.
I see.
So we did have our physicians for a while driving to Manchester to do their OB
for
and then driving to Exeter for 3 years to admit adult patients. So that was a little bit of a rocky phase.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of our physicians at the time. We kept a lot. We've had National Health Service Corps physicians stay with us for 20 years. They've just been fabulous. The Corps was really instrumental in staffing us. If we hadn't been for the Corps, we would not exist. It's a family affair. It's a mission-driven organization. And you gotta tend to the family. You can't allow people to drive themselves too hard. Sally and I were infamous for never closing because
we still are.
No.
I'll be here tomorrow. That's right.
Yeah, and we had our new building, the two boilers, the old boiler and the new boiler, break down this morning, and it was well below zero when we got up. And
55 in people's offices, and they were working.
I got a call from Sally that it was 55, and she said, should we close? I said, absolutely. We can't ask patients and our staff to work. And I got in, and I said, well, did you close? She said, no. They fixed one boiler, and Sally said we could warm up if we'd be all right.
The nurses, you know, it's nice to know that we could close, but people are, you know, if you cancel a whole day worth of patients, where do you put them? You know,
right.
We don't have enough space in the schedule still to move people around like that. The other thing is, it's a little state. It's interesting to think about the impact that we've had in the state. I mean, Ann is in all kinds of pivotal positions, and I was on the Governor's Blue Ribbon Commission on something or other, health and the... because she appointed me.
Yeah.
It's entertaining to drive up there, and, you know, they really recognize who you are. You can have some clout. You can actually speak to members of the elected legislature. It matters to them, you know, that you actually call them up, know who they are, give them a piece of your mind about something or other, and, you know, we can make an impact. We have a very good network of other people who are interested in keeping these patients afloat that rely on us. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's been part of our good fortune over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And our board, about 15 years ago, maybe even a little longer ago, said they made a commitment to help support and grow other community health centers in New Hampshire to the point where we actually have done contracts and given people technical support and staff support. And
mm-hmm.
Sally, that was Manchester Community Health Center, and for the Portsmouth Community Health Center, Families First, Sally acted as their medical director to their first nurse practitioner.
Right.
And then we took one of the physicians that
here,
we hired
and rotated them through Portsmouth.
And
Families First.
they bought one day of his time,
yeah.
So they were able to build up their patient load till they could hire their first physician.
That was a little bit sticky, but...
He wasn't too comfortable with that.
We put ourselves out on a limb there. It was a little bit sticky, right.
But that center now is a very strong and vibrant program in the Seacoast area.
Mm-hmm. One thing you don't like to hear is that we've trained a lot of good health professionals in the area. They come here, they get their training, and they go somewhere else to work less and make more.
Right, right. And from your experience as a medical director, can you think of particular challenges that kind of stick in your mind from over the years that might not have occurred in other health settings?
The biggest challenge is when you remind yourself that we are the final place this person can come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's, and, I mean, every time I talk to an employee, I was talking to our latest nurse practitioner the other day about why it is that if she's going to work full time, she still has to see patients in her turn on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
People don't remember that our patients need to come here because they can't cough up $100 to go to the ER for something or other over the weekend. So
right.
Really, it's an ongoing struggle to balance the needs of these staff and the employees with the needs of the patients. You know, we expect people to be here seeing patients evenings, weekends, Sundays, not a lot of hours, but we do keep it up, and it's a tough standard.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who come to see us have tried the other places, a lot of them, and can't go there anymore or can't afford it or whatever it is. So.
Right.
They might have a mental health issue. And a fair number of our patients are not necessarily patients that some other place will tolerate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have, and, I mean, mental health in general has been a problem for us because it's tough for adults in New Hampshire who don't have good insurance to get good mental health care.
Right.
Kids with healthy kids were in pretty good shape, but for adults, it's really... I mean, the other thing, if, you know, from our point, from Ann's point of view and mine, I would say one of the things that used to take up much of my time when I was the medical director, I've now stepped down slightly to be associate,
mm-hmm.
recruiting. I mean, keeping the physicians coming, you know, every time we have a new building or a new position or a new hole in the call schedule or a new whatever it is, it means that you have to, get, you know, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, start calling those candidates, get them in for interviews before the season's passed. And try to match somebody up, you know,
right.
That you really don't know all that well with the right spot here at Lamprey Healthcare. It's we mostly have hired physicians out of training, and so we mostly have been their first job, and the ones that have stayed have been wonderful, and the ones that have left have been another person that we had to recruit.
Right.
We did say now and then that the good Lord was looking after us. I forget what it was, but occasion after occasion, someone showed up and said, this is the perfect spot for
yeah.
them, and we...
It got to be our mantra. Thank you, God.
The good Lord was looking after us. There were those slots that, you know, suddenly got filled.
Right.
And we've looked for a number of years for an OBGYN in this fall. There was a lovely Romanian woman who has 15 years worth of experience who just did a residency, and she's agreed to come with us.
Great.
We're just, it happens too many times.
Right.
That we get such breaks and such blessings.
Yeah.
Once in a while, it's not a blessing. We've lived through those, too.
Right now, we have four relatively new employees at Lamprey Healthcare who've worked other places before. This is really a new thing for us. You know, they aren't brand
yeah.
new, malleable, green.
Right.
On the other hand, they're experienced. They know how to deal with patients. You know, they can survive a schedule, you know, 20 patients in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting opportunity we have here.
I think that one of the biggest challenges we have right now is healthcare has become... so burdensome in terms of paperwork and regulations and everything that the amount of hours that the provider has to put in order to be able to see the patients that you need to keep the doors open are getting to be prohibitive.
And there's just as many of these hours are involved in the tail, you know, all the referral notes that are coming
right.
in, all the x-rays
mm-hmm.
that are coming in, all the labs. And once they're there on the computer, it's wonderful, you can see them, but it also means that someone has to look at them. So there's this big inbox. box that goes along with every patient that you're seeing.
Right.
We're finding fewer and fewer people do what we do. In fact, fewer and fewer people here do what we have done, which is it's hard to do office family practice and hospital family practice and office OB and hospital OB call and all of that, you know, and still have a life. No physician here can work more than three-quarters time because it's too much of a killer, but they can't pay their bills at three-quarters time. So I think a lot of medicine is in the same treadmill, as Ann said.
I cannot stress enough how much our board really gave us permission to take risks. Like the Raymond building was a risk.
Uh-huh.
The first Newmarket building was a risk, the one that Judy and Jeanette and Arthur were involved with. Our Nashua Center was a huge risk.
Right.
We almost went under the first 2 years of that. I mean, we were in deficit the first 2 years. And we got additional appropriations from the state to cover that after they thought that I was going into cardiac arrest. I got the bad name of Ann just keeps cycling on this. She keeps cycling on this. And, you know, she's got to learn to take things easy. I says, well, we're in deficit. We're in deficit. And then Don Shumway met with me and helped us figure out how to get some additional funds. But, and it's made us better.
Mm-hmm.
Made us better.
Well, you're right. It's been a model for the state. It was wonderful to build with Ann around the effort Ann talked about had us designate. Judy, we did over, when we were at public health, the state, over 100 cities and towns as medically underserved or HPCSs, and be able to build services there and take over the National Health Service Corps function during the early 80s. It just began to build infrastructure where there was none and to build access where there was none in some very, very rural, exceedingly cold, and I'm saying that as someone from New Hampshire but now from North Carolina, I didn't believe how cold it was, but places that really, really had a tough time getting care. So we stuck together after I left Newmarket, and after Judy was director, when Ann had taken over. I think what's most remarkable for me is the stability and strength of the leadership of the board and the staff of Lamprey. I mean, that's what's really made this a shining example of what you can do in a community-based healthcare program.